know the song, so I didn't know when to get up. There's the end of it right there. All right, very good. Acts chapter 1, which we're going to be tonight. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to be there for a while. We might be in the book of Acts for a little bit on Wednesday night. I like the book of Acts. I started reading it when I first got saved. It fired my soul up. And so we'll be here for a few weeks to see what the Lord does. I believe Brother Hall's got our song tonight, so come on and sing for me.
I don't know rightly today, don't know if I'd have my family. There's just no telling who I would be if not for grace. I could be locked up in jail, have no future, no story to tell. I know my soul would be crying from hell if not for grace. If not for grace, I would still be lost and hopeless. If not for grace, there'd be no reason to carry on. But when He looked my way, there was mercy on His face. I would not be saved today if not for grace. Sin I carried for so long, things in my past I had done so wrong. God's forgiveness I would have never known if not for grace. There'd be no hope of heaven above, know the words for God so loved. I know my life would be unheard of if not for grace. If not for grace, I would still be lost and hopeless. If not for grace, there'd be no reason to carry on. But when He looked my way, there was mercy on His face. I would not be saved today if not for grace. But when He looked my way, there was mercy on His face. I would not be saved today if not for grace.
That's a great song. Thank you, Brother Hall. I appreciate that. Good singing tonight. Let's ask the Lord's blessing now as we look into His book. Heavenly Father, help us tonight, please. This is such a great, great book in your Word. And I pray that You'd help me and help us all, Lord, just to glean some good things from it. May the Holy Ghost teach us and help us fire our souls. Help us, Lord, to learn tonight just the one simple thing that is on my heart. And I'll thank You for it. Thank You for Your grace. And may we have it tonight in this service. I ask in Jesus' name and amen. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. We'll stop right there. For the moment, the beloved physician, if you remember the survey we did on the book of Acts, it was written by the beloved physician, Luke. He was the man whom the Holy Spirit used to give us this great book. We know this from the very first verse in Acts chapter 1. He talks about the former treatise, have I made, O Theophilus. Now, a treatise is a written composition on a particular subject. A written composition on a particular subject. We do not have to speculate as to which treatise Luke is referring to. Because if you'll look back at the Gospel of Luke, look back at the Gospel that carries his name, Luke chapter 1 and verse 1, you may remember this as well. Maybe you made some notes when we were going through the Bible survey. But back in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 1, Luke writes here, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So Luke mentions the name Theophilus at the beginning of his gospel. We don't know much about Theophilus. Maybe he was Theophilus' fellow. I don't know, but we don't know. That was supposed to be a little bit humorous, but I guess it didn't get there. So, but anyway, he was the most Theophilus' fellow. But anyway, Luke mentions him in his gospel, and then Luke mentions him again in verse number 1 of Acts chapter 1. Let's go back there now, okay? So, a treatise is a written composition on a particular subject. Theophilus was to whom it was written. And the treatise was written about Jesus Christ, okay? You learn that in the next phrase, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That's Acts 1:1. So the written composition was on the subject of what Jesus began both to do and teach. Now, the Gospel of Luke was about what Jesus both did and taught. That word both is important. We'll find it later on in verse number 8 in Acts chapter 1. The word both means at the same time. So Jesus did and taught together. He did and He taught. He did and He taught. Now, one of the major mistakes that people in leadership positions make is not backing up what they teach with how they live. Okay? Jesus chose 12 men to follow Him, known as His disciples, and He dared not teach them without backing up what He taught them with how He lived. He not only taught the truth, He lived truth. Now, that's a powerful combination right there. And that's a powerful combination. So, it's important for the pastor of this church to read this and understand what Jesus did. It's important for the Sunday school teachers of this church to read that and realize what Jesus did. It's important for the parents of children in this church and grandparents who sometimes have the opportunity to teach their grandchildren to pay attention to what Jesus did here. The most effective teaching is followed up by living. And that's how you got to do it, folks. That's what's necessary. You know, parents, the most effective teaching for our kids is that which comes not only from teaching, but from doing. When the doing does not line up with the teaching, it creates confusion and frustration in children. Some years ago, we had a situation like that going on here in the church. Didn't know it, because you don't always know what's going on in people's homes. Had trouble with a boy, a teenage young man, 17, 18. And finally, I was working with him, trying to help him. And Brother Jason was doing the same. Brother Caleb was doing the same. And finally, one day in the office there, I think it was to Brother Caleb, he just exploded and he went off and he said, "I'm sick of my dad and mom coming here to church and smiling and greeting everybody. And then as soon as we get in the car on the way home, they're ripping up Pastor Angel and what he preached." And I mean, he said, "I'm sick of it." By the way, we got a phone call the other day from a jail collect where he is now. That's a shame. That's a shame. I realize everybody needs to stand on their own two feet. When you're 17 and 18, you can make the right decisions. But I want to tell you something, folks. If what he told Brother Caleb was true, his folks didn't do him any favors by coming here and putting on a show. Because the kids don't miss it. The kids know what's fake and what's not fake. That's sad, isn't it? Just sad. Sad to think that a young man that used to sit in the pews of this church in services here is in jail today. It's messed up. So, this is what Jesus did. Okay, now we know that. There was none of that kind of confusion. There was none of that kind of frustration among the followers of Jesus because He both did and taught. But that's not really what I want to bring to our attention tonight. To grasp all that the book of Acts is, we must not overlook one important word in verse number 1. Luke said, "The former treatise," that's the Gospel of Luke, "have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Luke did not say that his gospel was just about what Jesus did and taught, past tense. He said his gospel was about what Jesus began to do and to teach. That means his gospel did not contain the whole story of what Jesus did and taught. That means his gospel left the story untold. So you know what the book of Acts is? The book of Acts is a continuation of what Jesus did and taught. You say Jesus is gone from the earth in the book of Acts. In the first chapter, He catches that cloud to glory and He leaves. But friend, I want to tell you, I'm going to prove it tonight now, that the book of Acts is a continuation of what Jesus did and taught. Acts is not just about Peter. Acts is not just about Barnabas. It's not just about Paul and others in the first century of Christianity. Acts is about the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The ministry which He began to do and teach in the Gospel of Luke was continued in the book of Acts, just in a different manner. In a different way. Now, this continuation is mentioned here in Acts, and it's also mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. Look at verse number 4 and 5 in Acts chapter 1. "And being assembled together with them," commanded, talking about Jesus now, being assembled together with the disciples after His resurrection, "commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith He, ye have heard of Me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now you remember, these were some of the things that Jesus said to these men before He led them out to the Mount of Olives and caught that glory cloud to heaven. He mentioned the baptism of the Holy Ghost that God would send on them in a few days. "You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Now, we're not there yet, but do you remember the symbol of that baptism when it came on the day of Pentecost? Do you remember the symbol? Somebody said it. Fire. Cloven tongues of fire. Right? Sat on their heads. Now, I said here in verse number 5, "You'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And that day came, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was symbolized by the cloven tongues of fire that was above the heads of all those people, the 120, in that upper room. Now, hold your finger here, and let's go back to the Gospel of Luke, okay? Because the two are connected. Luke and Acts are very much connected. There are some things in the Gospel of Luke that are only found in Luke, and they pertain to what happened later on in the book of Acts. Let's go back to Luke chapter 3 and verse number 15. Luke chapter 3, verse number 15. This will pick it up here. "And as the people," chapter 3, verse 15, "were in expectation." Now they're all looking at John the Baptist. He just preached a sermon. Verse 15, "And all men mused in their hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not." Isn't this the Messiah? "John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." So John the Baptist said, "Whoa, whoa, 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 I'm not the Messiah." And John the Baptist prophesied that one day Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what he said right there, right? Luke 3:16. Now look over at Luke chapter 12. Look at Luke chapter 12 and drop all the way down to verse number 49. Jesus is preaching and teaching here, and in the middle of His preaching and teaching, He stops and makes a statement or two about Himself. Luke chapter 12 and verse number 49. He said this, "I am come to send fire on the earth." And what will I if it be already kindled? I want you to look at verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. Now watch this. And how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Now Jesus spoke these words about Himself. He came to send fire, but He had a baptism to be baptized with. And until He went through that baptism, He testified that He was straitened. When I think of the word straitened, I think of a straitjacket. Jesus said He was hindered. Jesus said He was constrained. Jesus said He was held back, and He could not do His mightiest work until He went through that baptism. And the mightiest work He's talking about is casting fire on the earth. That's what He said in verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth, but I've got a baptism that I've got to be baptized with, and until I go through that, I am hindered from casting that fire on the earth. Isn't that what John the Baptist said about Him? He came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, Jesus is talking about that very thing here, talking about Himself. Now, friend, you say, what was the baptism that Jesus had to be baptized with? That until He went through it, He was constrained from doing His mightiest work. Well, that baptism was the cross. That baptism was His crucifixion. That baptism was His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And He got to that baptism in due time. When we come to the book of Acts, we find that is past tense. Now, Jesus already died, already was buried, already was crucified. That means He is no longer straitened. He is no longer hindered. He is no longer held back from His mightiest work. Because He's gone through the baptism. Are you with me so far? He said, I came to cast fire on the earth. But I got a baptism that I got to be baptized with. And until I'm baptized with that baptism, I'm in a straitjacket. That's quite a statement. Because I think He accomplished a whole lot before He went to the cross. You know what I think that was? I think that was all just kind of overflow. Just wherever Jesus went, He was helping people, doing miracles, proving Himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God. But that wasn't His mightiest work. And His mightiest work, according to the Bible, what He said, the baptism that He had to be baptized with was His crucifixion, His death, burial, and resurrection. And He couldn't get to the mightiest work until He went through that baptism. This is unbelievable. Now, He's in the book of Acts. We come to the book of Acts. He's no longer straitened because He's been through the baptism. He's no longer hindered. I'm going somewhere with this because He's been through the baptism. He is not held back from His mightiest work because He's been through the baptism, but there is only one more thing that must take place before He can do His mightiest work. Look at John chapter 16, the Gospel of John chapter 16. There's one more thing that must happen before Jesus can do His mightiest work. John chapter 16 and verse number 7. Verse number 7. Now, He says here in John 16, verse 7, He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. That word expedient means better. It is better for you that I go away, for if I go not away. Now, my goodness, I cannot imagine without the Bible telling me this, I could not imagine what would be better for me than to have Jesus here on the earth. Could you? I couldn't imagine what in the world would be better than having Jesus here on the earth. But He tells His disciples, it is expedient, it's better for you that I go away, for if I go not away, watch it now, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Jesus said it was better if He went away, because once He went away, He could send the Comforter. It was necessary for Jesus to go away so that the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, would come. When you get to the end of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus went away. after his death, burial, resurrection, after spending 40 days on the earth, showing that he was alive with many infallible proofs, he went away. He caught that cloud to glory, and 10 days later, the baptism of the Holy Ghost took place. Jesus sent fire upon the earth, and Jesus said, sending the person of the Holy Spirit in power upon his disciples was better than he being here in person himself. Are you with me? The better thing, better than Jesus being here in person, is Jesus, through the power of the Holy Ghost, being here in my heart and life, and being here in your heart and life. The better thing was for Jesus to go away, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to come on those disciples, those 120 in the upper room, for the Holy Spirit of God to fill their heart and their life with power. That was better than Jesus being here himself. John chapter 14, you're real close there, aren't you? Look at John chapter 14, look at verse number 12. Man, this just got all over me this week. It so excited me. John chapter 14, verse number 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. If that were not in the Bible, and if I didn't believe the Bible to be the inerrant Word of God, friend, I would have a hard time with that. And it's still difficult for me to comprehend he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. How can we do greater works? Who could possibly do greater works than Jesus? But watch me now. The works would not be greater in quality, but they would be greater in quantity. More people would be saved through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the disciples than were saved through the ministry of Jesus in the flesh. More converts would be baptized through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of the disciples than were baptized through the ministry of Jesus in the flesh. More churches were started. More churches would be started through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in power in the hearts and lives of the disciples than were started through the ministry of Jesus in the flesh. And this is what Jesus was talking about. His mightiest work was casting fire on the earth. He had to go through the baptism that only he could go through, his death, his burial, and his resurrection before he could cast his fire on the earth and do the mightiest thing. And he had to leave so that the Comforter would come. But him going away and the Comforter coming in power upon his disciples in their hearts and lives was better than him being here in the flesh. When Jesus was here on the earth, he was straitened. He was hindered. Because of being in a body of flesh. Jesus wasn't in two bodies of flesh. He wasn't in five bodies of flesh. He was in one body of flesh. And friend, if he were still in the body of flesh, let me ask you, where would he be tonight? If he were still on the earth right now, which church of all the churches in the United States of America that is meeting tonight, which church would he be present in tonight? Brother Downs, which missionary would he be with? Come spend a few days with you in Carletta and then leave and go spend a few days with another missionary in a neighboring country. Maybe go spend a few days down in Madagascar with Ben and Ashley. How sad would the missionaries be? How powerless? How hopeless? How defeated? How frustrated? He'd have the presence of Jesus for a few days, and then he'd have to leave and go over to this missionary, leave and go over to that missionary, come to Faith Baptist Church for a couple of services in March, and then go over to Brother Woodward's church for a couple of services, and go up here to Brother Stedman's church for a couple of services, go up to work his way over to Iowa to Brother Brown's church, and just kind of visit church. And how sad would we be without the presence of Christ? All of that would have been true had he stayed in that body of flesh, straightened and hindered and held back. But after he ascended to his Father and sent the Comforter and sent fire on the earth, he is no longer hindered. He's no longer straightened. He lives in us.
It's incredible. Man, it's been all over me the last two or three days. I got goosebumps. Unbelievable. Friend, this book, the book of Acts, is a continuation of what Jesus began to do and to teach. And when you read the book of Acts, Jesus' work is continued in greater fashion through the power of the Holy Ghost in the hearts and lives of the disciples. And it didn't stop at the end of the book of Acts. It didn't come to an end when the canon of Scripture was closed. That includes you and me today. You know what I hope is we can catch as a church the vision of what Christ would like to accomplish through us. What he'd like to accomplish through me, what he'd like to accomplish through you. It's incredible. Jesus would like to continue the work he began on the earth during his earthly ministry through our hearts and our lives. In order to accomplish that, he had to go to heaven so that the Holy Ghost could come and reside in the hearts and lives of his followers in power. How we need to yield to the Spirit who lives within us and let him continue the work of Christ on earth through us. You realize, friend, every Sunday when you and I gather here, if we come in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, we have the Spirit of Christ with us in this assembly. When we go knock on a door, if we go in the power of the Holy Ghost with the fire of God in our hearts, we have the Spirit of Christ on that doorstep. When you stand and teach a lesson, when you go on your bus, when you go to work as a witness for Jesus Christ, the power of the Spirit of God on your life as a witness at work. I mean, for everywhere we go, we take the Spirit of Jesus Christ with us. He's not straightened. He's not, you know, the only thing he's straightened by now is our old rebellion. The only thing he's straightened by now is our old hard-heartedness. That's an amazing text. I'm straightened. I'm hindered. I can't get done what I want to get done until I go through that baptism, and then I've got to ascend to my Father, and as soon as I do ascend to my Father, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost in power and fire upon all believers. Man, what a blessing. I hope, friend, that you and I, through a little bit of study in the book of Acts, can get hungry for a touch of God on our lives. What a difference it makes. I've preached too many sermons without it. I know when God's there and when He's not, and it's not God's fault. Amen. And if you've taught Sunday school for any length of time, you know when God shows up and when He doesn't. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ, His work didn't end with the Gospel of Luke or the Gospel of John. His work only continued and even multiplied when the person of the Holy Spirit came and filled and empowered those disciples, those 120 in that upper room. And you and I can have the same thing today and carry on the work of Christ in power in 2011. I know, you know, you said somebody, my wife said, boy, that was Sunday morning. That was a heavy message about Amos, out of Amos. And it was. I know that. But I'm not going to shun away from preaching a heavy message. By the way, did you read anything in the paper the last? Texas has had the hottest weather in history. Wichita Falls has had over 100 days of 100 degree heat this summer. Wichita Falls, Brother James. I'm telling you, folks, our country's fighting against God. And we're going to lose if we don't turn back to Him. But still, facing all of that, bless the Lord, I don't have to live in defeat or disappointment because the Spirit of Christ lives in me in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. I just need to get yielded to Him, filled with His touch, filled with His power, and let Christ continue to work through me. And so do you. May it happen for our church like it's never happened before. Jesus said He had a work to do. His mightiest work was when He sent the Holy Ghost and it filled all those believers. And may it fill us. May He fill us tonight and use us in ways like never before. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. That's what I wanted to share with you tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your book. Thank you so much for the Word of God. I pray that our hearts would be fired up tonight to catch the vision for what you have. Catch your vision for us. Oh God, I pray that you could continue the work of Jesus Christ through us. Old sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. Like Mick saying, when we looked at you, you looked at us with mercy and grace. Where would we be tonight without that? And then to think, God, you'd use us, to think that you'd fill us and anoint us and give us the power of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you'd help us to catch the vision for what you want to do through us as individuals, through us collectively as a church. And God, help us to long for and beg for and ask for that power of the Holy Ghost every day that we live. It's for every man, it's for every woman, it's for every young person, it's for every child. I pray for it for myself. I pray for it for these dear people here tonight. I pray it for Brother Downs and Brother Lott and their ministries. Oh, God, please touch, anoint, bless, fill, use. Multiply the ministry. Multiply the works that Jesus did. Multiply those works through the Spirit of God working in and through us. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, just a brief moment. What would God like to do through you tonight? I wish you'd catch a vision of that. I really believe that we have some folks in this church. You have no vision for what God can do. No vision. No vision. Yield to Him, friend. Please Him. Love Him. Serve Him. Get God's touch. Pray for God's power. Yield to the Holy Ghost.